Welcome to this edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with Lou Ann Crane.
And our host, of course, is psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Ryan, today we will be continuing a fascinating and yet rather chilling conversation that we began last time on the whole threat of radical Islam to our way of life.
Well, our guest was Dr. Michael Youssef, and you're right, Lou Ann, he shared some information that was really mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe that in 2012, there are people who hate America, hate Americans and Christians enough to kill for it.
Yeah.
But that's the truth, and it's time we all woke up to that fact.
It was pretty disturbing, and of course, we're not trying to spread fear, Ryan, but It is like the scripture that your dad likes to quote. He said this last time. In 1 Chronicles 12:32, it reads, "The sons of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do."
Mm-hmm.
And we really have a responsibility to be informed, not just to protect ourselves and our families, but also so that we can share the gospel with our Muslim neighbors here in the United States.
Well, and Dr. Youssef made a great case yesterday that the only way to win the war on terror is to see a change in the hearts and minds of the Muslims who truly follow the Quran and of those who would seek to placate terrorists. If anybody listening missed the first half of yesterday's conversation, you can get caught up at drjamesdobson.org.
Which I would highly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you not familiar with our guest, Dr. Michael Youssef is the founder and president of Leading the Way with Michael Youssef. That's a worldwide evangelism ministry. And he's also the founder and pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. He has a PhD in social anthropology from Emory University and has authored nearly 30 books, including his latest called Blindsided, The Radical Islamic Conquest.
Dr. Youssef was born in Egypt and lived in Lebanon and Australia before coming to the United States in the 1970s, and he became an American citizen in 1984. Mm. Lou Ann, I'll tell you this. He loves America And really has a unique understanding of the current issues in the Middle East, and it is an honor to hear from him again today.
Well, Ryan, let's get right to it then, as you actually asked the first question of Dr. Youssef today here on this Family Talk broadcast.
Dr. Youssef, we've already talked a little bit about the Arab Spring, where so many Middle Eastern countries saw uprisings in early 2011, and many in the mainstream media painted such a rosy picture of what was happening, as if democracy was suddenly coming to that region. But then we hear reports of what's truly happened since those rebellions. The United Nations just reported that executions tripled in Saudi Arabia in 2011. In Iran, a top cleric said that homosexuals are inferior to dogs and pigs. Mm. That movement was co-opted by radical Islamists who are violent and deadly, but were treating it with kid gloves. It's like the media has stuck its head in the sand, and so many Americans are terrified of being labeled Islamophobic if they speak the truth. Why are we not talking about this honestly?
Well, I think you just put your finger on it. We are basically acquiescing and giving in, and I can tell you another reason for that. I discovered that back in 1982, when I was trying to get my friends in the Reagan administration to kind of wake up to this situation, And I realized everybody was said, I said, these people have the inherent motivation to destroy us because what they get is in pie in the sky when they die and get 70 virgins.
Mm.
And while communism is a toothless bear who is, it's an economic theory that will fail sooner or later. And they said, then I found out later that both Republicans and Democrats, when they get out of political office, they go and work for Saudi-owned corporations.
Really?
So follow the money.
And
you're going to find that both of them, large amounts of money are going into building former presidents' libraries of both parties. So there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes, unfortunately. Not many people reporting on it. And when some do, all of a sudden, their voice is gone. They disappeared. You don't know what happened to them.
Well, it's been said that there is none so blind as he who will not see.
Mm-hmm.
And the facts are all around us, especially with regard to oil. You have written a lot about the international politics of oil, where the wealth of the West is hemorrhaging into the Middle East and then coming back against us.
Yes.
Elaborate on that.
Well, I mean, those billions of dollars that that we spend, and I think the last number I heard was something like $750 billion a year that goes into us buying oil, and yet we have oil right here, but we don't want to dig it up because, and who knows what goes on in this. We just saw a little bit of an incident of an open mic. Would I love to be a fly in the meeting where our president bowed to the king of Saudi Arabia and where that went and how that was all that discussed. But all that money goes in there, and then it comes back in forms of grants to schools and institutions in the United States and in Europe, and, of course, opening madrasas in all over Africa and in Pakistan and many other in the Middle East. And that money, they believe Allah gave it to them in order to propagate Allah's only true religion.
Yeah, you know, I have great difficulty understanding why here in the United States 300 million people have more or less acquiesced to refusal to drill our own oil, and we remain silent when that's really the core of the finances behind this anger and threat against our country. Why do we allow that to go on? I mean, I know the president wants it, but he can't do it by himself. He must be, you know, given the power to do that.
Well, I just think there are people who don't really love America. Let's just be blunt about it.
Yeah.
I think that America is not primary in their thinking. It is not. And I always say, look, I think sometimes as an immigrant who loves this country so deeply, and I look and I see how people who were born in this country not only take it for granted, but they literally don't care about it, don't care about its exceptionalism. They don't care about its future. And therefore, you know, the policies are reflected. So many of those people are behind the scenes. We don't see them, but they are the policy makers. They write the policy. And so whoever is up front is not necessarily that person, but who's behind the scene writing this policy?
Well, again, it's hard to understand why we permit that when you consider we already have $4 gasoline, and some people are predicting $5, $6, $7, $8 gasoline. Mm-hmm. And here we sit.
Yeah.
I mean, are we going to wait till they blow away a city or two or three or four?
Mm-hmm.
It just seems to me that there's something satanic about this.
Dr. Yusuf, you know, when we look at policies like this, to me it seems like common sense. It obviously doesn't to a lot of people, or it would be in place. But we've got the Keystone Pipeline. That would reduce our dependency on foreign oil. Why is that not a step we're taking?
Ryan, because you have another religion also at play here. So it's not just Islam. But we have a very fanatic religious people who worship Mother Earth, the environmentalists. They are as militant about their religion and protecting their goddess. And I'm not exaggerating. And therefore, you know, to them, the environment and planet Earth is the most important thing to defend. Now, I'm a steward. I don't like to waste. But these people are religious people in the truest sense of the word.
Yeah.
They are not going to allow anything to happen to their goddess, Gaia, the Mother Earth. And therefore, again, this is back in the policy areas. All those who are running the EPA and all those folks, they are motivated by a powerful religion called earth worship.
That actually comes out of Romans 1, doesn't it?
Exactly. And then you have, of course, the secular media is very much anti-America and therefore anti-anything that is America first. But to me, the most important thing that a believer could do, the most important thing, I can tell the government people what to do, but I can tell the believers two things. Number one is to commit to daily pray for the wall of oppression of Islam to collapse, just like the wall of Berlin collapsed. secondly, to be dedicated and committed to supporting gospel causes so the gospel gets into the dark areas and people. I hear every single day, Muslims are waking up for the first time and saying, oh, I didn't understand about Jesus. I did not understand the liberating power of the cross. I did not understand what Christians teach, because all I know is what is given to me through the mullahs and the imams. Mm. And so preaching of the gospel, we have neglected that through the years. We have really not taken the gospel to the Muslim world. So we must be serious about taking the gospel to the Muslim world. I know it's costly, I know it's hard, but God never promised us to tippy-toe around the tulips.
Well, and that's one of the primary objectives of your ministry, isn't it?
It is indeed. We focus as much as possible on the entire Arabic-speaking world, but also in Europe, since there are 50 million Muslims in Europe, we're focusing there. And then we're taking that whole satellite channel to Indonesia and Turkey and to all the other Islamic countries. Now, I thank God for Africa. I thank God for South America. Anybody can go there and preach the gospel. But I believe that we need to make a commitment to taking the gospel to these difficult parts of the world.
You know, in the prep that our staff gave us for today's program, there is an alarming set of statistics. Let me read them. Muslims are currently winning 50 million people to their faith every year. In 1945, England had one mosque. Today, they have 1,500. Great Britain currently has more Muslims than Baptists and Methodists combined. Muslims now account for 5% of Germany's total population of 4.3 million Muslims. In the 1970s, Islam grew by 400% in the United States. There are now 2.6 million Muslims in the U.S., and that number is expected to be more than doubled to 6.2 million in 2020. And finally, some reasons for the U.S. expansion. Increased immigration, there it is, high birth rate among Muslims, and increased conversions, particularly in the African-American community. It does feel like almost an invasion, doesn't it?
It is, and I have listened very carefully to one of the guru who was speaking in Arabic in England, and he said, basically, this is our third jihad, or third invasion, if you like. The first jihad was the first, of course, in their first century, which is the middle of the 600s, when they expanded to Christian lands like Egypt and North Africa and Syria and Palestine. All these were Christian lands where they expanded and have taken Islam there. And in the course of 20 years, they've taken over and all the way to Spain. Their second jihad is when the Turks and the Ottoman Empire has invaded parts of Europe and expanded. And they say, this is the third jihad, which we're not going to do with a sword and a bloodshed, but we will take it with dollars and with birth rate. And they believe that Europe will be within reach by 2025. And
do you agree with that?
I agree 100%, because just a simple equation, this Sheikh Kardawi was talking about. He said, there are 5 million Muslims in France. He said, basically the French have 1.2 children. He said, we have 4.3. And he said, do the math. From 5 million today, what will be at 2025? And he's absolutely logical. He makes sense. And it's just a matter of time with the increased birth rate and the increased aggression. They now have campus evangelism, what we would call evangelism, conversion, on every campus around the United States.
Dr. Youssef, can you explain to the people listening here in the United States about what's happening in Europe is also planned for the United States, and that there are instances of Sharia law being practiced here in the United States?
Yes.
I don't want to sound like the sky is falling, but at the same time, this is very serious. It is an actual threat. It's been planned. It's been stated out loud and publicly, and that's what's coming to America.
And we don't get it.
No, and I have in the book some examples, names and everything. I mean, there's a court in New Jersey where a Muslim man has been raping his wife. And when he went to the court, he said, I don't acknowledge you. I need a Sharia court. Well, he brought an imam and wanted the imam to adjudicate between the man and his wife. And the imam says to the wife, you need to go and whatever your husband tells you, you must do it. And the woman, literally for 12 months, she worked hard, went to appeal after an appeal, and finally she was able to get a divorce from an American court. The Archbishop of Canterbury, a few years ago, just 2 years ago, he said something about the Muslims need to have their own Sharia court. They think about one court. There are 88 courts in England today, Sharia courts. So a man could beat his wife, and then he goes in front of the Sharia judge, and the judge says to his wife, you need to go back and let your husband beat you as long as he's not beating you in the face. And there are certain directions of how to beat a wife. You know, you go submit to him. I mean, I played to my congregation one time from an Arab television with a translation underneath of a sheikh who was literally telling the young men the rules about beating the wife. You don't hit her in the face, you do this, and he got a little stick out of his hand. It shouldn't be bigger than this stick. And I'm telling you, my congregation was literally thinking this is unreal. Mm-hmm. But I wish it wasn't real. And that's what now Oklahoma and so many others trying to bring in the Sharia courts in America. And when that happens, God help us.
Well, Dr. Youssef, what would you recommend that we do? We're talking to a lot of evangelical Christians, Catholics, and others who care about their country, who care about their children, mm-hmm. future generations. This is the future. I mean, we are trying to develop a legacy of Americans to come. What can you say to them? What can we do? The government for this time and place seems to be very, very accommodating to Middle Eastern culture and values and to the Muslim way of thinking. What do we do?
Well, I think one of the most important things is to really be praying for God. Paul in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, he told the Thessalonians to pray so that the word of God would spread rapidly. Pray for him. And we need to pray for the Muslim people, that they will come to know Jesus Christ. We also need to influence the government and the policy of the government. And we need to take the gospel to Muslim people. And we must always make the distinction between Islam as a system and the Muslim people who are caught in that system. That is vitally, vitally important. Otherwise, we'll miss it.
Mm. Dr. Youssef, can I just ask you in these closing moments to speak to that mom or dad listening right now who understands what you're saying, but there's still a fear that's rising up because these last 2 days of conversations have been rather chilling. And we're talking to people who are raising, you know, toddlers and young children who by the year 2025, as you mentioned earlier, are going to be raised in a very, very different culture. And this actually, to be honest, it scares them.
Well, you know, the fear is not of God. The fear is of Satan. We do not live in fear. We live in the courage of Christ, that we know the truth, and the truth is on our side, and we're on the side of the truth. And therefore, fear must not take hold or grip us as people and as believers or even as Americans. We must understand that we are in a battle. We are in a spiritual warfare. And that we win in the end anyway, regardless. But caution, being educated, being aware, not being naive. And I meet people, and they come to me and said, my daughter is dating a Muslim. I said, do you know what that means? You know, you've got to understand, and you've got to be armed with knowledge. But fear is not really part of our culture. It's not part of our life. It's not part of who we are as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I would caution against fear, but I would certainly would encourage everyone to be armed with knowledge.
Well, Dr. Youssef, this has been a very enlightening two-day discussion, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing. The title of your book is Blindsided, The Radical Islamic Conquest. That is alarming, and I do hope that our listeners will get a copy of this book and read it and become informed about how you can use your influence in this culture. It probably ought to influence the people that you send to Washington, because they do, in some cases, understand this threat, and others don't seem to get it. But I again, appreciate your being with us. Dr. Youssef is president of Leading the Way. He's a senior pastor of the Church of the Apostles in Atlanta, Georgia. And he has a radio and television program that goes really around the world called Leading the Way. He's doing so much to advance the cause of Christ. Mm-hmm. In a part of the world that has been resistant in the past. You are encouraged in many ways, though, aren't you?
Absolutely. I really do. You know, with the rise of this Arab Spring, which I really call it the Islamic winter, I remember sitting at CNN office here at a studio for 3 hours on that first day, and I painted the scenario to the anchorman. I said, look, here's what's happening. These young people really want democracy, but they're going to be swept off the scene in the dustbin of history, and the Islamists are going to take over. I've been waiting for them to invite me to come back so I can say, hey, I told you so. Mm-hmm. But the reality is, with that fear that Christians used to have of the government and of Islam has gone. Many Christians today in the Middle East witnessing for Christ and sharing Christ like they've never done before. So with that came a real special empowerment. Prayer meetings today all over Egypt. The churches in Egypt are packed for prayer meetings. That has not happened before. And so with, you know, where sin increases, grace also abounds. Mm.
Dr. Youssef, I have heard that you have called for 100,000 people to pledge to pray about the things we've been talking about. Have you done that through your radio program?
Yes. If the listeners would go for the time being to leadingtheway.org and go there with God Save America prayer campaign, we already have 76,000 people signed up. So I'm hoping by the 4th of July we would have all 100,000 ready to go, maybe even more. And so for the time being, if they go to leadingtheway.org, and then they will see the Pray for America, and it will get them to sign up there.
Mm-hmm. Well, to our listeners, let me say, join up. Be among those that are taking this issue before the throne of God. We're out of time. Thank you for your participation today. We will try to stay in touch with you because this issue is not going to go away. And we have reason to be concerned, but not to be panicked. And I think
that's
your message. Thanks for being with us. And God
thank
be
you,
with
Dr.
you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me. God bless.
Well, we have certainly heard a lot of information today on this Family Talk broadcast with Dr. Michael Youssef. And as was just noted, his organization, Leading the Way, is a great place to start.
And Lewin, we have a link to his organization at drjamesdobson.org, as well as to Dr. Youssef's book, which is a great follow-up mm-hmm. resource. Again, the title is Blindsided, The Radical Islamic Conquest. And again, don't forget to look for the information about the God Save America campaign. Again, all of these can be found at drjamesdobson.org.
Or if you'd like to call us for a CD copy of this series or to even donate to our work here at Family Talk, the number is 877-732-7255. 6825. And while you're on the line with us, please be sure to tell us where you listen to Family Talk most often, whether it's your favorite Christian radio station or a podcast or even streaming.
That's very helpful information to us, Luann. To learn how our friends are catching the broadcast, and don't forget, all during the month of May, the impact of every single donation will be doubled, and it is a great time for people to partner with us in our work of helping families and spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ.
And again, you can give by clicking that Donate tab at drjamesdobson.org, or one last time, our phone number, 877-732-6825. And before we go today, Ryan, just it's a good time to remind listeners, they may have heard here on this program that your dad and you are both working together to redo his classic 1978 film series out in California. The dates have changed a bit. It's actually now 1 month from today. We are counting down to it, June 22nd and 23rd, and then the following weekend, June 29th and 30th, it's Skyline Church in San Diego. Put that on your calendar now.
And for more information, go to drjamesdobson.org. We appreciate you tuning in today, and we invite you to be back with us tomorrow as we hear a fantastic discussion with Dr. Meg Meeker about raising daughters. That's right here at Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.